Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we roll into November 8th. And, our 158th show. I'm the host, Brad Brood, joined alongside Blake Friars. And, Blake, are you alive tonight? You sound awful.
Yeah. I'm going to try and gut through this one today. But, definitely not feeling the greatest tonight, that's for sure.
I've been there recently. About 3 weeks ago, I literally thought I was going to die. But I made it, and you'll make it, and it sucks. Question for you.
Yep.
I've been following your junior hockey team you do play-by-play for a little bit here, you know, here and there. And I look at your social media because I know you do that. And plus, right. I follow them on Facebook, so I see it, right?
Yeah.
You guys played, the Merritt Centennials this year?
Yeah.
Just last week?
Yeah.
Okay. Did they have, like, a contest at school and have, like, third graders design their logo?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty bad.
It is a square with a dot in the middle and a
hockey stick.
And a hockey stick that looks like a straw. It's a, how the hell did they be like, yeah, you know, I think we're going to go with this logo. Right? I mean, someone, I look at it, I've looked at it many times, and I'm like, it's a bad logo. Yeah.
They're off to a tough start this year, too. They're 0-11.
It's because they look bad.
Not too much. And they have nice jerseys.
Do they?
The logo is not really nice, but.
I like their colors, but.
Yeah.
See, I don't like your team's colors.
Purple?
Just never liked it.
There's not many purples in sports.
No, and that's good. That's good.
I respect that.
I do respect that.
We got brand new jerseys this year. Like, we went back to our old logo, purple, gray, white. They look sharp. On the ice, at least, they look sharp.
I'm a little puzzled by your logo, too.
So we're back?
Well, I just don't know where the gorilla comes in, since there's no gorillas in our continent. Our continent.
Well, you know what a silverback is, right?
A gorilla, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I figured that out.
What do you mean? So what else you get about our logo?
I like the logo itself. It's odd to me that you would select a mascot figure that is something that we don't even have in our continent.
I don't know. Interesting.
It is. I mean, it's not bad. I don't hate it. So what did you think of the McDavid goal?
It's got to be up there. I thought it was definitely up there with that goal he scored in his rookie year against Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Similar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's just crazy how a guy can just stand still, wait for his teammate to come onside, then just go through four guys just like that. Pretty impressive. It's crazy how these four guys can't knock him off the puck or something. It's just
two look like they didn't even try.
Oh, I know. It was a pretty bad effort. Great goal, but I think the effort could have been a little better.
What did you think of Kachuk's goal on Saturday night?
Through the legs?
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have a trademark for that goal right away.
He got through some
like couple of years.
Social media was freaking out because he did it in a 6-0 game. I'm like, it was just reactionary. Like, I think that's reactionary. I
mean, what other moves did he have there?
Nothing. He had nothing. That's the only thing he could do.
Yeah.
I had to laugh.
Unless he just throws it on net, but.
Did you see in the post-game presser, it was him and Markstrom, you know? And somebody asked a question about, like, do you think that's, asked Markstrom, of course, I do chicken to ask a Chuck, but they asked Markstrom, do you think it's right for him to do that in a 6-0 game? He's like, well, he didn't really have a choice. He was in tight. Like, that's the only shot. He goes, plus, like, that's Kachuk. Like, he does that all day in practice. And then he looks for a second. He's like, but he doesn't score at practice. But he tries that all the time, you know. So they're busting each other's chops. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I know. Flames are rolling. They're playing well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they are. They're the Flames and Oilers.
You can say it, Brad. It's fine. Your team is playing good.
They're playing really good. Like I'm not like. I mean, you obviously aren't. I mean, neither Calgary or nor Edmonton are going to continue at this pace. We haven't lost in 10 games.
The way that Edmonton's playing, I don't know. Like if Edmonton trades for a legit goalie, scary team.
I know, but they can't afford one though. That's the problem, right?
We'll see. I don't know.
I don't know to call Vegas and figure out how to do it. I don't know. Tampa might be able to help him. Right?
I don't know if they have anybody put in LTIR.
Jesus, what the hell? I've been meaning to ask you this for two episodes now. And every time we get done with an episode and we just log off, I think, damn it, I should have asked him. And then I mean to text you a few minutes after the show. Forget every time because I'm busy editing. Have you watched season 3 of You?
Yeah.
Is it worth my...
It like 2 days. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay, I love season 1. You love season 1, obviously, too.
Well, season 1 is the best of the three.
So. Season 2, I was a little... Yeah.
Season 2 was... season 3 was better than season 2. That's what I'll say.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I'm going to be...
You got to pay attention, though, because it's kind of confusing at times, but it's good.
I watch a series now, and I'm embarrassed as hell to admit it. The reason I watched the first episode is because Johnny Gaudreau mentioned it in a podcast that he watches it, and I just saw it come on one night when I was flipping channels, and it requires no thought. Like, you're right. You have to think about you. Like, you have to, oh, God, I don't, you know, you got to think ahead. What I watch doesn't require any brains at all, and so, like, when I shut the hockey games off at night, I flick Below Deck on, and... It is such a dumb show, but I don't know why.
What on?
Below Deck. Have you ever watched that?
No.
Try one episode, Blake. I dare you to, because you will watch.
All right.
There's like freaking 8 seasons of Below Deck regular, and there's like 6 seasons of Below Deck Mediterranean. And they're good. They're good. They're good.
I got a show for you, though.
What?
Yellowstone.
Oh, my mom is really, really big into that. And it's funny because...
Season 4, episode 1 just came out last 2 days ago.
I know. It came out Sunday. And my mom was like, don't even bother me Sunday night because I'm watching this. Yeah. It's that good. It's 4 seasons into it, huh?
It's really good. It's like Paramount. Paramount Plus just picked it up, so it's on TV now. Like, used to just be on, like, seasons 1 through 3 were just on Amazon. But now it got picked up by an actual TV station. Now it's if you're into Western horses, you're a Midwest guy, I think you'd be into that kind of stuff. But yeah, I didn't think I'd like it at first, but boy, that's another one of those shows you gotta pay close attention to. There's a lot going on, but it's a really good show.
I might have to tune into that.
My mom, when she binge watched seasons 1 through 3 in like 2 weeks.
Holy shit!
It was.
I don't have the time to watch. You know, during the off season is when I could handle doing that, but I have trouble.
No, it's a really good show. It's probably in my top 5.
Really, I am Florida bound this week. A little delayed vacation. We were going in August when there was no hockey. That didn't work out because of the world we live in today. And, family and I take off on early
Thursday. You mean you couldn't go because of COVID? Or
yeah, well, just, no, they didn't shut it down. Like, I didn't want to deal with the COVID bullshit requirements. So now that Florida is the number one state to be in for not getting COVID, we are going. And we're excited. The kids are pumped. Everything looks... A-okay so far.
Go to Disneyland?
Disney World, yeah. So, yeah.
You going to catch a Florida Panthers game?
No, that's in Miami. That's a long ways away. That's like a...
Oh, yeah, you're going to Orlando.
Yeah, I'm going to Orlando.
You're going to go... You can go to a Magic game, maybe.
I wouldn't pay to go to a... they'd have to pay me to go.
Oh, hey, so listen, though. Like, I wasn't a big basketball guy when I went either, but it's actually a pretty cool atmosphere there.
I'm still not going. I'd rather sit by the pool with a beer and watch hockey on my iPad. And that's what I plan on doing tonight. I'm going to watch, we'll get the kids settled in, and I'm going to watch the late games and keep up with
There's only three games on tonight, though.
That's good. I'm not turning hockey on tonight. I'm not watching tonight. I'm not.
Let's see. I was watching that Leafs game. I think it was 3-1 LA.
Really?
When I checked, yeah, LA was really taking it to them.
A little bit to talk about on the show today. We're going to start off with Sin City Superstars, the Sabres trade Jack Eichel to Vegas, and then we'll talk about panic point. How many games into the season do you start to panic if you're fans of Colorado, Vegas, maybe Vancouver? I don't know. We're going to talk about that. We'll go around the league, talk about some dirty hits, Captain Tkachuk, Slewfoot, Subban, Carey Price, and a coach was fired. All right, Blake, let's talk about something that freaking I was hoping we'd talk about 4 months ago. And Jack Eichel finally traded. Buffalo sends Eichel and a third rounder in 2023 to Vegas for Peyton Krebs, Alex Tuch, a first rounder in 2022, and a second rounder in 2023. Initial thoughts on the move.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I thought a deal was going to get done. I think that Buffalo did all right with the circumstances. They didn't have many partners to trade with. Like I don't believe that Calgary deal was on the table. I don't believe that one bit.
Let's talk about that real quick.
I don't know.
So Kevin Weeks, I got a theory on this. Kevin Weeks tweets out. For all asking, my understanding is the NHL Flames have Tkachuk, who is their future potential captain, an upcoming first-round pick, a former first-round pick, and two elite prospects in the Eichel sweepstakes. And then later that night says, hearing Eichel has officially been dealt to the Flames, Tkachuk and Mangiapane part of the return. Okay, so I had a big problem with
it. He did that?
Yeah, and when I saw that, I was like... So there's insiders and then there's insiders. And I consider the big ones, retired now, Friedman, Bob McKenzie, Friedman.
Johnston.
Yeah.
Pierre LeBrun, Darren Dreger.
The new guy, Cervelli.
Frank Cervelli.
Here's my problem with this. And I kind of smelt shit on this right away. Is I thought, is this ESPN trying to crack a deal? And then I'm serious. Does that make sense to you? And then as I thought about this a little further, I thought, or is this Buffalo's GM feeding a unseasoned, irresponsible insider fake bullshit info, so he throws it out there, and that ups the ante and pushes the deal to get done with Vegas.
Yeah, maybe it was, I don't know, but like...
Calgary's freaking
pissed. Buffalo got less of return than that, though.
Yeah, I know, but they probably got added stuff to what they originally had in the Vegas deal.
I don't know about that. I mean, it was always going to be a roster player, a top prospect and picks. That's what it always is going to be. It was just a factor of like how much money was going to be involved. Because Eichel goes right on LTIR and they're $9 million over the cap right now. So it's going to be interesting to see if Eichel comes back before playoff time, how they're going to figure that out. I don't know.
You know, I honestly believe, and I've listened to enough research done on this, and 31 thoughts at the time, 32 now. I had a great podcast last summer with the doctors, and I honestly think that Jack Eichel will be fine.
Yeah, but it's a little concerning when he's doing a surgery that's never been done before. It's a little concerning, but yeah, I think that he should be fine too.
But the fact is, it's still a very serious surgery. And then, You know, you hear Vegas say 3 to 5 months.
Yeah.
And then I hear other doctors say, no, 4 to 8 months.
Yeah.
And then I hear, well, there's talk that he wants to be back for the Olympics, which if I'm Vegas' owner, I'm saying, you're not playing in the goddamn Olympics, no matter if you're healthy or not. There's no shot. I just ponied up $50 million frickin' dollars to have you come. You're not playing for the Olympic team. There's no way that's happening, and I don't think he'd be healed anyways. But, you know, you mentioned it a minute ago. How in God's green earth is Vegas going to have this fit under the cap when he's able to come back?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Dadnov gets moved. Maybe Riley Smith gets moved. One of those two.
But for what? Because every general manager is going to be like, I don't have the money to take on your Dadnov.
They might have to package some prospects to get rid of some cap. I mean,
so they're willing to even give up more prospects? That's the part that confuses me. You know, this team, I know is they're in win now mode, but like you are setting yourself up for in 4 years to be like one of the worst teams in the league.
This trade though makes them worse right now.
It does.
Because you traded two players off your roster for a player Tuck that's is not hurt. To help you right now.
Tuck isn't playing right now anyways.
Sure, but like, yeah, I guess.
Peyton Krebs isn't either.
He didn't play. He started with the Urza team.
Yeah, but he's not with them now.
Okay, yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Like, so
I know, I totally know what you're saying. But
it's a very interesting move. I think Calgary was very smart not to do something like that. As soon as I saw that Tkachuk was involved, I was like, yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, Eichel's a great player, but like, and Eichel's better than Tkachuk, but I don't know if like he brings everything like that Tkachuk brings. Like,
he's a center though, and he's dynamic. He's better than Tkachuk.
He's the number one center that Calgary doesn't have. Yeah. Like, they don't have that number one center, so
well,
like that would have checked the
Lindholm
box.
Lindholm hasn't been.
If you have to, oh fuck. Eichel's way better than Lindholm.
Way better. But
you have to
give Lindholm.
Bonnie and Tkachuk and a first. I'm like, ooh. Like,
that was silly talk. The thing is.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out. Like, a former first was like, Valimaki.
Valimaki's not, he hasn't played in four games anyways. Valimaki's not even dressing.
Are they shopping him? I don't know.
Why would you? You need depth. Daryl Sutter said it at the beginning of the year, I need 9 defensemen.
Yep.
He's used all 9.
And Shillington's taken the next step, which Calgary needed.
Yep.
So that's been good.
I mean, everything has fallen into place. I mean, but really right now, Calgary has 9 defensemen they can throw out and not worry.
Yep.
That's huge luxury, and you're going to need that because there's going to be...
Gabranson's playing well.
Gabranson's been awesome. Zadorov's been good. Everybody's been good on the back end.
By the grace of God, somehow.
And it's great to see. And you know, you're gonna have injuries, and you're gonna have guys that go through struggles. But here's the nice thing. So Zadorov has a couple games where he struggles. Boom, pop him out. Put in Stone. Stone's a guy that can sit out for 8 games and come in like he played last night.
Yeah, that's kind of the same way with Luke Shen in Vancouver.
I mean, it's awesome to have a guy like that. It's so nice. It's a luxury to have that. You know, but you look now, I look at Vegas's roster and like...
They're decimated. No Carlson, no Pacioretty, no Stone.
They have $27 million. They have $27 million on LTIR.
Yeah.
$27 million.
It's crazy.
So when that comes back, how are you going to do it? Because they have currently 16,000 in cap space, so they're going to be 11,000 over the cap, or 11 million.
Yeah, they're using 11 million LTIR right now, yeah.
Who do you shed? Who do you shed?
I have no idea. It's going to be amazing to see how they finagle around the cap. Like, that's why I think that Eichel doesn't like he's on LTI. If they make the playoffs, and I'm being serious, if, because they're that hurt, and I don't know if they'll be able to claw back. Like, I'm not sure, but I think that Eichel stays in LTIR until the end of this regular season.
So,
like, I don't see him coming back because it'll be like a Kucherov situation. Just like, if they make the playoffs, there's no salary cap in the playoffs, and then he comes off.
How long do you think? And I'm going to preface this question by saying, look at all the guys that, like, Vegas has promised the world to, signed, and then, oh, have a nice day. We're going to move you on. Like, I totally agree. But they change their mind like that on players.
So, oh, yeah, for sure. If you give Alex Tuch a 5-year deal and 2 years into his deal, Buffalo goes, yeah, we'll give you Jack Eichel if Alex Tuch's the centerpiece of the deal. Yeah, you're trading Alex Tuch. I don't give a shit if I just signed.
I don't think Alex Tuch was the centerpiece of the deal. I think Peyton Krebs was, but
yeah, sure. But like, Alex Tuch's still a pretty good player.
Absolutely, I'd love to have him. But here's the deal, though, Blake. How long are they faithful to Jack Eichel?
Well, how many other teams can afford him? I think Jack Eichel's going to be fine there. I think he's going to flourish and be a really good player, because now that was the Vegas's biggest hole, was a number one center.
They have a ton.
Now they've went out and got it, their number one guy.
Look at their defense.
Yeah, defense is great.
Okay.
Their defense is fine. Goaltending, Robin Lehner, say what you want, he's okay. I don't know. Everybody says build through the draft, but boy, their first four first round picks they've traded, and they pretty much all their building pieces have been through via trade. It's crazy.
So here's the deal, though. They can't even fit Pacioretty and Stone back in on the cap. Much less Eichel.
It's going to be interesting.
I don't know how you're going to do that. I don't know.
But I'm sticking to my gun. No, like, I don't think Eichel plays a regular season game.
I agree with you there. So let's switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about panic point. And are we to the panic point for Vegas? I mean, where they stand right now, I mean.
6-6? No, you know, there's no room to panic. I mean, they were at 1-5. I was like, ooh, I don't know. They won, like, what, 5 straight games? They're 1-4, 1-5?
Yeah, didn't they get dumped last night?
Caught back. Yeah, they lost 6-2 to Detroit.
Yeah, to Detroit, 5-2.
5-2, yeah.
So now they're sitting in 6th place in the Pacific, which I wouldn't panic too much there. But
one of my questions is about the Pacific Division, so we'll touch on that later.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think there's no room to panic for Vegas. I mean, yeah, they're decimated with injuries, but I think they got a lot of veterans on that team, so that they'll be able to figure it out.
So do you panic if you're Colorado, who's 4-5-1?
No.
In a division that's much stronger?
Minnesota and St. Louis are playing well.
Winnipeg's playing well. Winnipeg 6-2-2.
It's
Nashville 6-3-1 in their last 10. I mean,
yeah.
Even Dallas hasn't really been. They've been up and down. They'll play good one night and really bad the next night. Oh,
Dallas hasn't even won a game of regulation, Brad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They haven't, like, They haven't. They haven't won a game in regulation.
They haven't. They didn't look very good against Vancouver last night.
Anton Hudobin looks like a beer league goalie to me.
Hudobin?
He looks like a beer leaguer out there.
The way he moves around, it's just like, how is this guy in the league?
He looks like a freaking beer league goalie, doesn't he?
Like, that goal that JT Miller scored, at his second goal, right along the ice, I'm like, I could have stopped that. Like, what is going on here?
So do you feel comfortable? Okay, like, we're talking, ripping on Dallas' goaltending. You know, and Vegas is one of the teams we're determining if it's time to panic with all the injuries that they're having. They're allowing way too many goals. I mean, Vegas has allowed 38 goals, second worst in the Pacific. I don't know the Lehner's the answer there.
Well, he better be, because he's there for another, 4 years?
Yeah.
And they traded the blanket for him to be the guy. So
I think it was a mistake. We both said that at the time, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, letting go of Fleury. Well, I mean, they had to. He's $7 million. They had to shed cap somehow. Especially if they wanted to get Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So why is Colorado struggling so much?
I don't know. Like, even Makar, he's a minus player so far. He's got 5 points in eight games.
McKinnon is not controlling games like he can. I mean, you had him pegged to win the Stanley Cup. I had him pegged to go real high. I mean, a lot of people have him pegged to do really, really well. And, you know, I look at the
team. Yeah, Kemper struggled a little bit so far, too. That's played into their slow start a bit. But, like, I think, like Vegas, this team's been there before. They know how to win hockey games. Kemper's a really good goalie. I love him. I think he'll be a Vezina finalist still. Like, I think he'll snap out of it, but.
He's going to have to step out really good.
Like, I think they're.
That's all.
I mean, I think they're going to start hitting their stride here in November.
I question whether I was even going to bring this up because I don't know if they're at that point or not. I'll touch base with it just simply because I wouldn't put them in the category yet, but I know you know more about them than any other team, but what are you feeling in Vancouver?
Well,
I keep watching this team. I did not watch last night, but I watch them most nights they're on. I try to. And, like, they leave me wanting more. Like, it's like, ugh. Like,
yeah, and ugh. Last night, if last night shows you any sign, it's a great sign what happened last night. Their top guns finally broke out and scored 3 power play goals. That's what's been killing them. Their penalty kill on this homestand that's 6 games in, they're 2-5 now on this homestand. Guess what their penalty kill is in those 7 games?
It's freaking shit. I know that.
64%.
Oof.
Their power play until last night on the homestand, 1-for-20. You're not going to win many games when your special team is that bad. And last night, they just picked it up. They scored 3. They were 3-for-6 on the power play. They allowed 2 power play goals against, which is unfortunate. But I mean, if you're winning the special teams battle, if you're scoring more power play goals than the other team, you're gonna come out on top more than not. Pettersson finally scored. Hughes had 3 assists. Miller had 2 goals. Besser had a goal. Horvat had a goal. Up and down the lineup was just. Their best players were the best players, and I think that's been a problem. Pettersson hasn't looked like himself.
He's been bad.
It was nice to see him rip a shot top corner, posting in, like, lethal shots. Like, okay, you know, that's the guy we've been watching the last 3 years.
So like, Vancouver's...
Demko's been out of this world.
Demko's been really good.
Demko's been a top 5 goalie so far this year.
I was watching. Who did they play before Dallas? They lost. I was watching
Nashville.
Yeah. And their announcer was talking about the Pettersson struggles. And he said that he thought maybe it would happen that they'd put him in the press box for a game or two.
Oh, fuck, what a wake-up call that would have been.
Well, and that's what he said. He goes, and I'm not trying to, like, be mad and bash the young kid, but he goes, at some point, the struggles have to stop. He's too important to this team.
I agree. And it'd be interesting. Like, I think that Travis Green is definitely on the hot seat.
I do, too. I think he's more.
We talked about a couple episodes ago that Jim Benning doesn't really have any other cards to play other than losing his own job. So he already made the big trade, getting Garland and Ekman-Larsson, who have both been great. Garland's been all that Canucks fans have hoped and dreamed for, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson's been really solid too. So I think it's just a matter of scoring goals. Defense has been fine. Goaltending's been superb all season long. It's just getting
consistent
goals.
Scoring.
They just got to score goals. I mean,
they got to be consistent on a night-to-night basis.
If you're scoring 4 goals, maybe even 3 goals, I think the Canucks could win a lot of games. because Demko's been playing that well.
How bad would it be if Demko wasn't playing well? Holy crap.
Oh, yeah, it'd be terrible. I mean, that save he made last night, fuck, on Jamie Benn.
Yeah.
He's been unreal. He's definitely proven a lot of people wrong, that's for sure.
All right, time to talk about just a bunch of little things going around the league, and I want to get your opinion and pick your brain on a couple things. Sergachev hit on Marner. Where did you stand on this one?
Two games deserved. I was a little surprised he only got 2 minutes in the game. It was a blindside hit to the head. Didn't really make a play in the puck. But two games is fine.
Did you happen to see? And I'm not screaming for a suspension or anything. But did you happen to see that the hit Ryan Reeves put on Mangiapane Saturday night?
No, I was in Coquitlam.
Right to the head on a flyby, and I'll give Reeves credit. He's usually not a headshot guy. He's a hard hitter, but he's usually not a headshot guy, except for the freaking Tyler Mott deal a couple years ago. But you remember that. I know you do.
Which one, sorry?
The Tyler Mott one in the playoffs. Oh, in the playoffs?
Yeah.
That was dirty as all get up.
That was dirty.
I just thought the Reeves hit on Mangiapane wouldn't get a suspension, but would get some talk on Sunday and maybe would get a $5,000 fine, but nothing came of it. Sergachev hit on Marner. I could see it just because he wasn't making any attempt to play on the puck.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was like vicious, but it was there. It was definitely a gamer for sure. He ended up getting 2 games for the hit. Kachuk is named captain. Brady Kachuk is named the 10th captain in Ottawa Senators history. I don't think this surprises either one of us. But I like this Ottawa team, and me and you have kind of been like silent. Me and you are kind of.
Yeah, honestly, low key, kind of been watching a lot of Senators.
I kind of like watching them. You know my other
team? I have three Senators on my fantasy team. I got Batherson. I got Norris. And I got Stutzel.
Hey, Batherson's another guy Vegas gave up.
No.
Yeah,
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure he was a pick in their first draft.
I don't think so.
Pull it up.
I think Otto drafted him.
Prove me wrong.
Drake Batherson.
I hope I'm wrong, but I swear he was part of the Vegas. I thought he was.
He was drafted 121st overall in 2017 by Ottawa.
He was, okay. All right, I was wrong on that.
Yeah. You're thinking of Suzuki.
No, I was thinking of somebody else.
So they traded, it was Suzuki. Oh, you're thinking of Brännström.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Brännström was in the Stone trade.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. We touched on this a little bit last week, but it happened again. And it's so it makes me wonder, like, if something's going on, like, mental struggles with his game or something, but Subban got his third slew foot of the year. Fined $15,000. What's going on with this guy?
Are you surprised that they're not just going to give him a suspension?
Yes. Why? Why is
like first time fine, second time fine, third time fuck. Figure it out, dude. You're gone.
Five games. Fuck. The slew foots are completely unnecessary parts of the game. And I don't, that's why I wanted to talk to you about it. I was just like, why is this not getting called? Why is this not being penalized more than that?
The one, I think it was like, or two of three for sure, were right in front of the referees.
Well, he did it to, and he's an idiot too. He did it to Reeves and Lucic.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I can't remember who his third one was on, but.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Carey Price returns from the player assistance program.
Yeah.
Is this even good timing for him to come back, or is he coming back to a mess?
It's definitely not a good situation team-wise to come into.
No.
No doubt he's going to make them a better hockey team, but that team itself is just a bad team altogether.
I don't know if they could have like Jesus and the Pope in net and win a game the way they're playing. I mean, like I just look at this and I'm like, I don't know what battles that Carey Price is going through, but I can't help but think this is going to help his battles.
The consensus rookie of the year is in Laval right now. I don't know. It's tough. Oh. Tough sliding in old Montreal.
Oof. Speaking of tough, Chicago Blackhawks fire Jeremy Culleton, Tomas Mitchell, and Sheldon Brookbank of their coaching, their whole freaking coaching staff almost, and have named Derek King interim head coach. Is this this didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me, but I thought with everything going on in the organization, they would have waited until the end of the year to do it.
Yeah.
When I saw Colleton give the board to Patrick Kane in the timeout, I kind of felt like the writing was on the wall for his coaching job. But, I'm not sure.
We meant to talk about that on one of the previous shows, and we forgot.
I think we did talk about it.
We touched on it, and then we touched on it and changed subject on something happened. And,
yeah, I know. But like, when I saw that, I was like, holy fuck, like this guy must have really just lost the fucking room.
Oh my god! Like that is something.
If that's like, I don't know if that's him. Like, hey, fuck it, you know, you drop the play, or if maybe like Kane said, here, toss me the ball, let me drop a play. I don't know what happened there, but yeah,
it might have been something that is irrelevant too. I mean, it really could be something that's I don't know. I don't know, had a broken finger. So I don't know, but it's just holy shit! Is that organization just a dumpster fire?
Yeah, and maybe they bring in a guy like Torts. I mean, they need a culture change. Like I think Torts is the guy to build a culture there, and he can make it his own. And like, if he really wants it, I think it's there for him.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that?
No. You want to know why? I'm not accusing him of doing anything because
I'm saying.
Hear me. I agree with you, Blake. I agree with you, but listen to this. Hear me out on this one. This organization is going through the biggest shitstorm ever this year because of allegations and how they're mishandling and all the negative that went along with that. And we've talked about that and don't need to talk about that anymore. But don't you think that whoever they hire for this job is going to have the biggest background check done in the history of the world?
Yeah.
And is Torts the guy you want to take your chance with?
I mean,
with player treatment and stuff. Like, I can't believe,
look at his track record, though.
He's a winner. And he's a winner because he's a hard ass.
Yeah.
These players these days. Why do you think Calgary's winning this year? I'm going to tell you straight up. Why do you think Calgary's winning this year?
Oh, because Daryl Sutter.
Daryl Sutter.
Yeah.
Coaching. This the success of the Flames and the success that Tortorella has had over the years completely shows me that these young players today, they say they need to be treated different. That's because they're babies. They need to be pushed, disciplined, and held accountable.
Well, look at even like Johnny. Like Johnny's he's been a completely different player.
Back check. He's a completely different player. And they're winning.
You love him so much, they're going to re-sign him.
They're winning. I would be fine if they re-sign him if he stays like this.
Yeah, Sutter's definitely got the boys motivated, that's for sure.
And, you know, you look at what Chicago's going to do, and I feel like they're just going to – if this isn't the
who's
biggest –
who's going to be their next coach? You think it's going to be a young guy?
It'll be somebody – I don't know. But I will bet money that it doesn't get announced till next year.
Yeah, it's probably fair.
You knew I thought right away. You knew my first thought was right away. Bruce Boudreau. I don't know why. Just because I always look at Bruce Boudreau as a great coach. I just do. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's had a pretty good track record everywhere he's been. So.
But I don't know if he's the guy that's going to want to come into that mess. Like, he's not the youngest guy anymore, and I would, if I'm Bruce Boudreau, I'd be like, somebody else could have that show. I'll just wait till somebody, a good team, fires a coach in panic mode, and I'll take over there, you know. But
yep.
we'll see what happens there. And I don't know. It's I just think it's going to be the biggest background check in the history of hockey coach hiring. So, are you ready for three questions?
Let's fire up.
It's time for three questions.
All right, Blake, my favorite part of the show. This week it's your turn to fire three questions at me. I will return the favor next week. Fire away, Blake. Question number one.
With 11 goals and tying for fourth all time, is Ovechkin changing your mind?
No.
He's not.
Not yet.
11 goals already in 10 games?
This is not the years you need to worry about. You need to worry about 3 years from now.
Think about it, though. Think about it. He needs to average 35 for the next 5 years, okay? So if he scores 50, that number goes way down in the next 4 years.
Yeah. We'll discuss.
He's already got 11 in 10 games?
You keep bringing this up,
Blake.
He's
a man out of it. I'm going to keep bringing it up.
I'm not saying it won't happen. I don't think it's going to. I don't know why. Something in my gut.
He's in the NHL for a guaranteed 5 more years, though. So, sure,
unless he has a devastating injury, which I doubt that'll happen.
Yeah, which I hope does. Yeah, he's been very durable.
Yep. And he's in good shape, and he's a, you know, I always look.
And
at,
he's still blowing the puck past guys.
I look at him, you know, as a player that's just I always describe, like, there's certain players that I use the term. He's a brick shithouse. He's just
adapted too. He's adapted. When he first came in, he was a highlight reel. You know, celebrating, still celebrates a lot, but I mean, he knows how to conserve his energy now, later on in his career. And
he fucking stands there and waits for the puck, Blake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. and he still blows the puck, guys.
Conserving energy. It's called standing there.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Will Detroit have two of the three Rookie of the Year candidates on their team this year?
No.
No.
You want to know why? They should probably.
Everybody loves Raymond. Eh? He's off to a good start.
But you know what I feel like is going to happen? It's done by voting.
Right.
And I hate that. It's because it's sometimes not voted on by the right people. And I feel like one will get left out.
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, Mort Seider, I picked him to be a Rookie of the Year candidate this year.
He's good.
He's been silky smooth back there, and Lucas Raymond's just lighting the league on fire right now.
They're top two right now in my mind.
Listen, Detroit looks pretty damn good right now.
They're
not nowhere near a playoff spot, but like
Anaheim looks good.
Anaheim, Detroit, Terry, he might be a Rookie of the Year candidate this year.
Zegras has been out, and they're still winning.
But. A lot of that is on John Gibson, too. He's playing really well.
He's a top five goalie. Blake, he's a top five goalie.
Yeah. And what was I going to say? Detroit. If there's a Detroit Red Wings game on, I might turn it on.
I never would have done that.
They're young, and they're fun to watch. And
I'm watching teams I've never watched before this year. I haven't watched in the last 3 years. I watched maybe two Detroit games last year.
I've watched three Carolina Hurricanes games.
I have two.
Year.
I've watched Ottawa games. I've watched three Ottawa games. Four Ottawa games.
I just watched the. Oh, the Leafs got pounded. By the way, love to see that 5-1 loss to the Kings
tonight.
Yeah, Kings got them. Vintage Jonathan Quick tonight, buddy. Yeah. So I was watching that game before I hopped on the pod. I'm just getting. A little more time to watch some hockey now that baseball is over. And
is that game still going on, that World Series game?
No.
That ended?
Six.
Okay. Yeah. No, I knew that, Blake. It was a smart-ass comment that the game was still going on. Bad joke. Bad joke.
Terrible.
Terrible joke.
Okay. Question number three. Is the Pacific Division a better division than we thought?
Absolutely.
Boy, like I'm just like
absolutely, Blake. I would say that though.
Better.
We stereotype things all the time. Let's pull up the division.
I don't think Seattle's very good.
I don't either. I don't think Seattle's very good. I know you're going to get mad at me. I don't think Vancouver's really very good. They haven't showed me any consistency yet. I picked them to finish third in the division. Yeah. But I did not think they would have front end inconsistency. I didn't see that coming. I didn't.
Me too.
Vegas is, I picked them to win the Stanley Cup, and they're injured.
That might turn into an Oilers cup for me.
I'm fine with that because I freaking don't want them to win. Like, I'm fine with that being a bad prediction. I really am. L.A., I mean, you're impressed with L.A. I'm impressed with L.A. And Anaheim's sitting in third. They've got 15 points in 13 games. They've scored 42 goals. That's second most.
Calgary surprised me.
Calgary has surprised me a ton.
He's got, what, fucking four shutouts in nine games?
Yeah.
He had four shutouts in nine games.
Yeah.
220 starts. He had four shutouts at Vancouver. So
what did I see? Yeah. I saw a thing the other night that, what did it say? Markstrom has more shutouts than a team has wins. It was bad.
Might have been Dallas. Dallas only has four.
I don't know what it was. San Jose has been a little bit of a surprise, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to come down to earth, though.
I do too.
Well, but Edmonton doesn't surprise me. They got the two best players in the world.
Can't run at this rate. You cannot run at that rate. Yeah,
but boy, like, even like Koskinen's playing well for them.
I know. Everything's
going right for them.
Everything is aligned in Alberta right now with these two teams.
If they play in the second round of the playoffs, sign me up for that.
Holy shit.
Sign me up. Even if they play in the first round, sign me up, please.
If Calgary can stay healthy and keep playing the Sutter way.
The Sutter way is so hard to play all year, though.
Here's what's going to happen. And this is what drives me crazy with fan bases. It's not just Calgary, it's all of them. But like now Calgary is going to go out probably next week. They go on the road for a freaking like an eight gamer. And they're going to get shit
pumped.
They'll
be lucky to come 500.
No, they'll do better than that. They're going to get shit pumped one night. And everybody's going to be like, "Whoa, this team's falling off the wagon." I mean, that's how fan bases are. Like, your team's had no, you know, you guys have been off the train tracks all year, according to your fan base. But I don't know. I like the way Calgary has been composed in crappy situations this year.
Well, they're getting off to good starts, too. I mean, they're playing with the lead a lot.
But against Nashville, they let in a goal right away against Nashville, and I was like, oh, no, here. First time we've been behind to start a game, and they fought right back and won.
We lost, right?
In
overtime.
Oh, we did lose in overtime, didn't we?
Yeah,
we lost in overtime. But
Duchesne scored in overtime.
Yeah, on a freaking play that should have been a penalty. That's right. That's the one that there was a trip on the
interference. There
was a trip on the near wall. There was a trip in the near wall.
Markstrom was going nuts.
Yeah, Markstrom lost his mind.
He's like, holy fuck.
But I don't know. I just look at this Edmonton team and I look at the Calgary team and I think they're both been flat out amazing. But I don't know if you can keep that going at that pace. Like I don't think you can.
You got a listener question?
I do. It's a good one. It's a really good one. Justin McReynolds, St. Cloud, Minnesota. He says, you make the call. He wants to know our opinions on the Ryan Lomberg collision with Hurricanes goalie Antti Raanta. He received a five-minute major and a game misconduct. I know you've seen the play.
Yeah.
What was your thought?
What's Lomberg supposed to do? I mean, he even stopped, braced for contact. Fuck, if a goalie's going to come out that far, it should be fair game. Well, I was a goaltender myself.
Well, they're both.
Where is the guy supposed to go?
What's he supposed to do?
Like, if
you can't just jump straight sideways. I mean, like,
look at Ryan Miller all those years against Milan Lucic.
Yep.
The goalie's got his own crease, and he's got behind the net. Well, if you hit him in that area, you can't do it. If he's going to come out top of the circle, I mean, the defenseman and the Lomberg are going for the puck, and he could have absolutely killed Ranta. He stopped.
He got
for contact.
He moved. He pulled his shoulder just at the last second, so he didn't drill him. I mean, he hit him hard, but like I just don't understand. Like, what are we doing? We need to protect our goalies.
Did he?
No, but he got a five. He got a game misconduct. He got kicked out of the game and got a 5-minute major.
So they reviewed it and called it a five. I think they called it 2 minutes for goalie interference, and they reviewed it and called it a five because Antti Raanta left with injury. I think that's what happened.
I don't care if he left with an injury. I'm calling you. It's so dumb. Like we keep seeing these stupid things like that, and it's like, no, we need to protect players, but you can't protect them from their own stupidity. Like, you can't come blazing out, reaching out for the puck, and expect to just, I don't know. I just saw it, and I'm like, what was Lomberg to do? Because it was like Lomberg looked up, and he was like, oh, crap. He's right on him.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, interesting play, though. Oof.
Yep.
All right, hockey fans, another show in the books as Eichel finally moved. So, Blake, guess what? We don't need to talk about Eichel anymore.
Nope,
for like
until,
6 weeks, probably.
Maybe playoffs.
5 weeks? I don't know.
Until like March, maybe.
Yeah, probably, because he won't be able to. They can't afford him back. Don't forget, hockey fans, November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month. Get out, support. Get on over to their webpage. Hockey Fights Cancer. Make a donation. I know you get, there's a sweet trip going to Vegas that somebody's going to win, but remember the cause and get out there and support. I know I definitely will. Check us out on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group, Apple Podcasts. Check us out at the Debate Hockey Podcast and rate, review, subscribe. Check us out at debatehockey.com. Next week, hockey fans, we will be taking a break. I didn't plan to go to Florida next week, but, it got switched, and I'm headed into sunny Florida, and I'm going to play a little golf, too, but the wife doesn't know that yet. We're going to be back talking hockey again Monday, November 22nd, as we take 1 week off. Blake gets a week away from me, not listening to my hockey bullshit, and I get to relax a little bit. So, we'll be back in 2 weeks, and God, there's going to be so much to talk about, Blake. I don't know. We're going to have to make lists now, so important things, you better jot them down. Enjoy this week's hockey action, everybody. We're back in two. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.